This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, Russian classics behind bars. We'll hear about an innovative program that has juvenile delinquents clamoring for Crime and Punishment, the novel, and bird watching in New Hampshire. We'll talk with the author of a practical guide to species and sightings on a hyper-local level. But first, the digital aftermath of a natural disaster.
Oh my God.
This is not good. Please, dear God, please keep these people safe.
Sound there from an amateur video captured by a resident of Moore, Oklahoma yesterday as the deadly tornado bore down on that Oklahoma City suburb. It's just one of hundreds of viral videos posted on Twitter and other sites yesterday evening and today. Joining us to talk about social media's role in covering and reacting to this latest tragedy is Brady Carlson. He's NHPR's All Things Considered host and our ever-vigilant eye on the web. Brady, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Virginia.
So let's start with some of these videos being spread around on the web. We are accustomed to seeing videos on YouTube, of course. This story, however, has brought some new tools to the forefront for citizen journalists.
And the most prominent of those is one called Vine. This is the most prominent use I've seen yet of the app. It's a video tool, much like what people use with YouTube, but the videos can be, they're short, up to 6 seconds. And actually, you can cram a lot of information into a 6-second video. And so we saw people in Oklahoma using this to show the storm, of course, but then the aftermath, some of the devastation caused by the storm, and even people in a neighborhood looking for survivors or treating people who had been injured. Videos that are short can upload more quickly, which is important in an emergency situation where the internet platforms are not going to be as reliable as they are in most of the rest of the time.
Well, in addition to, of course, reporting from some of these hard-hit area, a very quick reaction on social media in terms of self-organization and disaster relief. So this is something we've seen before, but it's getting more refined.
Right. It's the latest iteration of that disaster playbook that has been evolving on social media. Some of the same tools we saw in the aftermath of the Boston Marathon, the tool on Google where people can say, I am safe, I am accounted for, I know this person is okay and I know where they are, or this person is still, we don't know where this person is. There's a group on Facebook now where people in the Oklahoma City area can post about belongings that the storm swept up and blew to different places and try and match them with their original owners. That could be furniture, could be family photos, anything in between. I saw a group similar to that in the aftermath of the tornado in Joplin, Missouri 2 years ago. So you see how someone comes up with a great idea, and then that just becomes sort of the standard practice mm-hmm. in the aftermath of another disaster.
Oh, some of these tweets were just unbelievable. Keith and Melanie Thompson, your 3-year-old boy has been found. Call St. Anthony's South Healthplex. You know, people saying if you've been affected, you need dinner, shower, place to stay, please let us know. It's really heartwarming. But what about how to self-organize before a disaster? I mean, radio and TV have EAS warnings. They only got 15 minutes, I guess, in this case. Does social media have any such thing?
Well, there are apps that you can download. The Red Cross has an app called Tornado. The Weather Channel, of course, has an app. But these are different from those emergency alerts that you mentioned on radio and TV because they're all opt-in. There is no sort of centralized system by which we can distribute that kind of information during a storm or a public emergency like we have on traditional media. Part of that is because we've always assumed that the web is this very decentralized place that people go where they want and there's no real way to centralize information. But, I mean, if you look at the way that people use the web, there's a huge amount of traffic generated on maybe a dozen sites. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know what they are because we kind of all go to them. And so it might be worth, now that we've been through disaster after tragedy after disaster after tragedy, to look at what kinds of avenues we have. I mean, you know, a site like Facebook, most people have their location data in there. So if there were, say, an Amber Alert, you could conceivably set up a mechanism on Facebook so that people in the Amber Alert area could get notification and that would show up right at the top of the screen. So I think it's something worth looking at.
Now, you mentioned traditional media. Of course, there was a breakout star on social media last night, the traditional media outlet KFOR in Oklahoma City.
The NBC affiliate in Oklahoma City. I mean, they did what you hope every local station would do in a situation like this. There was a reporter, Lance West. He was sharing information on a lot of different platforms, TV and social media. And what made his contribution so meaningful was is that he was being honest about what he was seeing. I mean, he was passing on information like a good reporter does, but he was also being open about his own reactions to that. He was seeing some really hard things. Mm. He was getting information about some of the very painful news about some of the kids at the elementary schools in the area. And it's very difficult to sort of put on the objective, brave face in a situation like that. And he admitted that. And he said, this is hard. It's hard to look at that. And you know, when we talk about social media, it's about authenticity. So, I mean, he was not doing that to try and connect with his audience, but that's really the way that things are supposed to be done in social media, and he did that.
Brady, we have just a minute left. I want to mention a bit of social media's uglier side. Some backlash, as I understand, about some tweets. Let's call them just too soon.
Too soon. Well, basketball fans will remember the Oklahoma City Thunder. Their team was once known as the Seattle Supersonics. Sonics fans have always been bitter about that move. And there was a Twitter user who really stepped in it. He posted something to the effect of, God is a Sonics fan, sort of pointing to the tornado. Got a huge backlash from the Twitter sphere. To his credit, he owned up to the post. He apologized unequivocally and has spent the time since that post repeatedly tweeting the Red Cross's fundraising number to try and help the victims. So he's made a positive contribution out of that difficult moment.
Brady Carlson, NHPR's All Things Considered host and our ever-vigilant eye on the web and social media. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.